In the name of God, who plants seeds in our hearts. Amen. Episcopal priest Barbara Brown Taylor, in her book Seeds of Heaven, writes that God decided to hide the kingdom of heaven not in any of the extraordinary places that treasure hunters would be sure to check, but in the last place that any of us would look, namely in the ordinary circumstances of our everyday lives, people baking bread, farmers planting seeds, families in relationship with each other, lanterns and bushel baskets, and a woman searching for a lost coin. But if the kingdom of God is hidden amidst the ordinariness of our lives, then how do we know when we may be encountering the kingdom? We are in luck. Jesus uses parables to teach us about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is like, he says, listen, those of you who have ears. Simple, well, maybe not so much. Jewish scholar Amy Jill Levine, a scholar of both Hebrew Bible and of New Testament, the Christian Bible, says that parables are a tool of mystery. Not mystery in the sense of the supernatural or seeking a key to unlock a definitive meaning. What makes parables mysterious or difficult is that they challenge us to look into the hidden aspects of our own lives, of our own values. They bring to the surface unasked questions and they reveal answers that we may have always known but refused to acknowledge. Our reaction to them should be one of resistance rather than acceptance. And she continues, for our own comfort, we may want to foreclose the meaning rather than allow the parable to unfold into those multiple interpretations that are available if we look. Religion has often been defined as something that would comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable. And we would do well to think of Jesus' parables as the afflicting kind. Therefore, if we hear a parable and think, oh, I really like that, or worse, fail to take any challenge from it, we are not listening well enough, end quote. Today we're presented with a really familiar parable to many of us. We've heard it since we were children. We have known about it, the mustard seed. This is not the mustard seed we're talking about, the mustard seed where if you have faith as small as a mustard seed. This is a different mustard seed. It is a tiny seed that finds itself in a patch of ground. It takes hold and grows well beyond expectation into a large bush in Mark, into a great tree in Matthew and Luke. Such is the nature of God's kingdom. Well, Jesus tells us that he teaches everything to the crowd that follows him in parables, that they may indeed look but not perceive, may indeed listen but not understand. It is as if Mark is challenging his readers. Go beyond what you see and hear. Be open to the mystery. Be open to investigation. Be open to the challenge within yourself. Interpret this for yourself. So in this moment, let us think less about what parables mean and what we need to solve, and be more about what they can do for us, to provoke us, to remind us, to reshape us, to define us, to confront us, to disturb us. Preachers and theologians over the millennia have striven to provide scholarly explanations of meaning for this parable of the mustard seed. The seed represents the faith, the gospel, or Christ himself. The tree is the church. The birds are the nations of the world. But Amy Jill Levine suggests perhaps the seeds and the plants and the birds are exactly what they seem. And so with that in mind, here's a few pieces of information about mustard seeds for us to consider right now. A mustard seed is not the smallest seed, not even the smallest seed that the people who Jesus is talking to would have known. And the mustard plant, even one that is known to grow to the greatest height of 8 or 9 feet, is not quite strong enough to support nesting birds in its less than substantial branches when encountering a brisk wind. Think more of maybe a forsythia. So why would Jesus say these things that could instantly be refuted by the people who were listening to him? What purpose could they serve? My New Testament professor Larry Wills often joked that the whole purpose of Jesus' parables was to make us argue with each other. And that is the nature of theological life in the Jewish faith. Jewish scriptural debate is an honored and cultivated tradition and has created rich, rich collection of writings and wisdom over the millennia. The reader of Jewish texts does not simply read the words printed on the page and accept them as they are, and maybe even accept them as you say they are. The reader is an active player with what is on the page, and an active player with that page. The reader is a vocal participant in the conversation. So I wonder how those hearing Jesus got vocal with him after he told them the parable of the mustard seed. Perhaps someone said, "Hey, Rabbi, I'm telling you, I would never plant mustard in my garden. It's a nasty plant, it's invasive, it grows all over the hillsides, and once it gets hold, you can never get rid of it. Think of those vines that grow out of everything around here. If I want mustard, I'll gather it up there, well away from my fields." And another, "Listen, Jesus, with all due respect, if anything is going to nest in that bush, it's those pesky birds that keep eating all the seed that I throw down on the ground. Everything I try to sow before it can take hold." Or perhaps, "Well, if I may be frank, Jesus, the birds eat the mustard plant, and wherever they leave their droppings, the seeds go with them. So what started out as one little seed in one little place gets completely out of control." And can't we just hear those authorities listening to him, the elites, grumbling to themselves? What are we to think of this kind of teaching? He's talking about the wrong stuff being planted, and all he does is attract the wrong kind of people. Weeds, all of them. Yes, my friend, just imagine what teaching like that might be capable of. What it might inspire. Sparking in the people's imagination this spicy shrub of a kingdom that doesn't resemble the massive cedars of Lebanon that they know from the writings of Ezekiel. It's not a kingdom that looks like the Roman Empire built on might and military strength, but one that grows unabated, something we can't control, spread on the wings or the wind, built on hope, taking hold wherever it finds fertile souls and open hearts. Perhaps the miracle and the mystery of this parable and others we will undoubtedly encounter is in what we don't find in Mark's writing. Those musings, those debates, those inspirited conversations that are brought about by Jesus' provocative teachings and musings of what the kingdom looks like. I wonder how those things take hold in the community. See, you see, Jesus chooses his close disciples to teach to beyond what he tells the masses, but we don't get to hear those words of wisdom. We are the ones who are left to our own imaginations, perhaps inspired to toss around arguments and ideas back and forth in our homes, in our cars, around the dinner table, after church in the great hall, over Zoom. One of the things that I miss most about seminary is the opportunity to do just that on a regular basis. So here is our challenge. Try this on this week. Call each other. Come to the church, bang on my door, sit in the library. Go to Panera, talk over coffee, walk together, ask the questions, wonder together. Why does Jesus tell us this parable in this way? What purpose does this serve for us? There's a favorite way of mine that I like to use in approaching scripture. It's known as African Bible study. And in it, you read a passage three different times in three different ways. After each, you ponder a question. It can be done in your own home. It can be done in a group. The opening of it is to invite God's Spirit into this space with you, to accompany you in your time with the scripture. After the first reading, preferably out loud, even if you're alone, ask this question. What one word or phrase lifts itself up for me out of this passage? Just one word or phrase. It's an intuitive question. It's not one that's meant to have a lot of thought to it. It's just, you know, not something to be pondered, just the first thing you notice. And then read aloud the passage another time, considering this question. What might Jesus be telling me in this passage? Notice what you're feeling. Comfort, curiosity, perhaps unease. Pay attention to your body. How is your body reacting to this? And then read for a third time, a final time, pondering this question. What is being given to me in this scripture today that has meaning for me in my life right now? You might want to journal a little bit, or perhaps sit with the question. And as always, we close our time with scripture, giving thanks to God for God's word in our lives, come alive in so many ways. Perhaps if we can take anything away from this mustard seed parable today, it's that simple things we say or do may fall to the ground and take root. One person can affect many, even without knowing it. The kingdom of God grows of its own power, not in our control. Nobody can stop it. It's like a persistent and pesky weed growing underground. God is the God of all things, in all times, in all places. The kingdom finds its way, insinuates its way into the lives of individuals and communities that may be surprising, with the spiciness of new growth poking up in even unlikely and often inconvenient places. So I wonder, where in the ordinariness of this day will you perceive something of the kingdom of God? A glimpse of love and peace, a movement of grace, a bit of justice, a morsel of hope. Let that sense of the Christ in all things fill your mind and your heart with gratitude as you go through this day. I give thanks for your faithfulness and your willingness to join me in this discovering and uncovering of Jesus' way of teaching in the parables, his way of teaching us about the kingdom of heaven. May we be provoked. May we be confronted and disturbed and inspired together on this journey with him. Amen.